This news is funded by viewers and listeners like you. Please support our work at democracynow.org/support. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Here's what I would say to Mr. Trump. Instead of playing politics with this issue, instead of telling members of Congress to block this legislation, join me, or I'll join you, in telling the Congress to pass this bipartisan border security bill. We can do it together.
President Biden calls on Donald Trump to join him in a bipartisan bill to further militarize the U.S.-Mexico border and crack down on migrants and asylum seekers. We'll go to El Paso to speak with a leading immigrant rights advocate. Then we look at an Intercept expose of a controversial New York Times article alleging Hamas weaponized sexual violence on October 7th.
There is no news organization in the world with greater influence, particularly over the U.S. government and American public opinion, than the New York Times. And to publish a story in the middle of a war that makes incendiary allegations, you have to have that nailed down tight, because if you get something wrong, it can take lives. And in this case, we see a deeply flawed piece making extremely incendiary allegations.
We'll speak with Intercept reporters Jeremy Scahill and Ryan Grimm. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Gaza, the official death toll has topped 30,200 as Israeli forces continue their deadly attacks, one day after Israeli soldiers fired on people waiting for aid in northern Gaza, killing at least 104 people. Harrowing survivor accounts have emerged in the wake of the massacre.
We went to get food and flour, and they started shooting at us. Then we threw ourselves into the streets, and no one looked for us. Eventually, people brought us here. There are martyrs lying around, and no one is looking for them.
If aid is to come to us in this way, we do not want it. We do not want to live on the blood of our children. If our children will die and be harmed in exchange for aid, we do not want aid.
Gaza's health ministry announced today at least another four children have died of starvation and dehydration in northern Gaza. On Capitol Hill, California Congress member Ro Khanna grilled Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin over ongoing U.S. support for Israel in light of Thursday's massacre of Gazans waiting for food aid.
If Israel again ever stops American-paid aid from getting into Gaza, will you commit to not sending future arms sales?
Again, that's not my decision.
We need some consequences when another country is defying you, defying the National Security Advisor, defying the president, defying National Security Memorandum 20. There has to be some consequence.
Secretary Austin refused to say the U.S. would ever hold Israel accountable for killing Palestinians and violating international law. During questioning, Austin also said over 25,000 Palestinian women and children have been killed by Israel since October 7th. Though that figure is likely close to the true death toll, the Pentagon was later forced to walk back Austin's statement, claiming he was referring to the total death toll, not just women and children. In labor news, Washington State's largest union, United Food and Commercial Workers, endorsed a primary vote for uncommitted rather than President Biden in the March 12th primary, citing a need to, quote, end U.S. funding toward this reckless war, unquote. Yemen's Houthi movement warned it's planning surprise military operations in the Red Sea against Israeli, U.S. and other targets over the assault on Gaza. Meanwhile, Lebanon's caretaker prime minister, Najib Makati, said a ceasefire in Gaza would trigger negotiations to halt fighting between Hezbollah and Israeli forces.
We are saying, God willing, if we are able to reach a cessation of military activities in Gaza, then I believe that we will have ahead of us weeks packed with negotiations so that we can reach what I have always called long-term stability in the south of Lebanon.
In New Jersey, residents of Teaneck say they'll organize public protests if the Keter Torah Synagogue goes ahead with a plan to host a March 10th real estate event selling housing units in illegal West Bank settlements. This is local activist Rich Siegel.
If we allow this sale to go through, we are enabling a local synagogue to violate both domestic anti-discrimination laws and international law. Now, there's other reasons we shouldn't allow it, okay? There's a genocide going on right now.
In Texas, President Biden and former President Trump traveled to the U.S.-Mexico border Thursday in competing trips to tout ever harsher immigration policies. Trump visited Eagle Pass with Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott, while Biden spoke from Brownsville, where he appealed to Trump to work together to lobby Congress on a border deal.
Here's what I would say to Mr. Trump. Instead of playing politics with this issue, instead of telling members of Congress to block this legislation, join me, or I'll join you in telling the Congress to pass this bipartisan border security bill. We can do it together. You know, and I know, it's the toughest, most efficient, most effective border security bill this country has ever seen.
Their visit came on the same day a federal judge temporarily blocked a sweeping new Texas law that would have allowed police to arrest anyone suspected of entering the United States without authorization. SB 4 had been set to go into effect next week. The Inter-American Commission on Human Rights held a special hearing Thursday on climate change fuel displacement. It's part of an effort to have the organization formally recognize forced migration due to the climate crisis and establish legal protections for climate refugees and internally displaced people. Eugenio Abelto Ramirez from Honduras is a survivor of last year's deadly fire at a migrant jail in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, which killed 43 people. He was trying to make his way to the U.S. after he lost his livelihood when the shrimp farm where he worked was destroyed due to rising sea levels. This is part of his testimony voiced over by an interpreter.
And let us not be looked at askance saying, oh, God, here come some more immigrants. Block the border. We have human rights. We simply are hoping for the chance of a better life. That's all we want. And I can only hope, pray God, that the governments would get together and understand the situation and somehow find some decent, some humane way to address the problem.
In the Texas panhandle, at least two people have been killed as the Smokehouse Creek fire continues to rage. On Thursday, it merged with another wildfire, becoming the largest ever fire in Texas history and the second largest in U.S. history as it spreads into Oklahoma. The flames have engulfed over a million acres, raising entire neighborhoods to the ground. It's just 5% contained. The climate crisis is making wildfires more frequent and more devastating. Greenpeace said, quote, as the largest oil driller and producer in the United States, oil companies in Texas are literally fueling the flames on their doorstep. In Pakistan, the National Assembly swore in newly elected members of parliament Thursday amidst protests by lawmakers from the party of ousted and jailed former Prime Minister Imran Khan. Khan's supporters got up and shouted, vote thief, as Shahbaz Sharif entered the chamber with his brother Nawaz Sharif. Both men are also former prime ministers. Shahbaz Sharif is expected to form a new government after none of the major parties won a majority of parliamentary seats in February's election. Supporters of Imran Khan have accused the military of election tampering. Here in the United States, over 30 Congress members sent an open letter to President Biden asking him to withhold U.S. recognition of the new Pakistani government until a, quote, thorough, transparent, and credible investigation of election interference has been conducted. In Iran, polls have opened in the first election since an anti-government uprising rocked the country in 2022 following the death of Mahsa Amini while in police custody. Voters are casting ballots for 290 parliamentary seats and 88 seats on the Assembly of Experts, which appoints the supreme leader of Iran. But turnout is expected to be low amidst calls for a boycott and voter disenfranchisement. Jack Teixeira, a member of the Massachusetts Air National Guard, is expected to change his plea to guilty to charges of leaking a series of highly classified Pentagon intelligence documents to a group of gamers on the messaging app Discord. He was indicted last year under the Espionage Act and has been jailed since April 2023. The 22-year-old is scheduled for a Monday hearing in Boston to change his plea. In media news, The Intercept, Raw Story, and Alternet have sued OpenAI and Microsoft, accusing their generative artificial intelligence products of copyright violations. The outlets say their copyrighted content was plagiarized and used to develop and operate the popular AI tool ChatGPT. Raw Story and Alternet CEO John Byrne said in a statement, quote, "It's important to democracy that a diverse array of news sites continue to thrive. OpenAI's violations, if not checked, will further decimate the news industry and with it the critical news reporters who affect positive change," unquote. In Ghana, rights groups are sounding the alarm as lawmakers passed a new bill targeting LGBTQ plus communities. It includes prison sentences of up to 3 years for anyone convicted of identifying as LGBTQ plus, up to 10 years for advocacy campaigns aimed at children, and a maximum 5-year sentence for establishing or funding an LGBTQ plus group. Same-sex intercourse is already banned in Ghana. President Nana Akufo-Addo has said he would sign the measure into law if the majority of the population supports it. And in Moscow, thousands of mourners have gathered outside a church for Alexei Navalny's funeral amidst heavy police presence. But mourners say it was important for them to be there.
I could not not come because I think that I have to give my last respect to this man.
Were you afraid?
We were very afraid. We arrived early and were standing here for a long time, hiding our flowers and cameras. But now I realize that we need to do this and speak up.
Hundreds of people have been arrested for publicly mourning Navalny in the 2 weeks since his death in an Arctic prison. The U.S., rights groups, and others have blamed President Putin directly for Navalny's death. Among those spotted at the funeral were recently Kremlin-disqualified anti-war Russian presidential candidate Boris Nadezhdin and prominent Putin critic, former mayor of Yekaterinburg, Yevgeny Roizman, as well as U.S., French, and German diplomats. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I am Amy Goodman. We begin today's show in Texas, where the two leading presidential candidates visited the U.S.-Mexico border Thursday. As many voters say, immigration continues to be a key issue. President Biden was joined on his trip to Brownsville by Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who was recently impeached by House Republicans over his handling of the border and immigration. Biden's reportedly considering a sweeping executive order to deny migrants the right to request asylum if they enter through unofficial ports of entry. The same authority was invoked by the Trump administration. Meanwhile, Biden called on Donald Trump to back a bipartisan bill before Congress to further militarize the U.S.-Mexico border and crack down on asylum seekers and migrants.
Here's what I would say to Mr. Trump. Instead of playing politics with this issue, instead of telling members of Congress to block this legislation, join me, or I'll join you in telling the Congress to pass this bipartisan border security bill. We can do it together.
Biden's trip came the same day former President Donald Trump visited the Texas border town of Eagle Pass. Trump claimed the border was safer when he was in office and used the term invasion to refer to asylum seekers forced to flee their home countries and arriving in the southern border. He also touted fake news about crime rates by undocumented immigrants and asylum seekers that are not backed by any evidence or data.
Now the United States is being overrun by the Biden migrant crime. It's a new form of vicious violation to our country. It's migrant crime. We call it Biden migrant crime, but that's a little bit long, so we'll just leave it. But every time you hear the term migrant crime, you know where that comes from. Crooked Joe is the blood of countless innocent victims. It's so many stories to tell.
This comes as a federal judge on Thursday temporarily blocked a new Texas law set to go into effect soon that would give police the power to arrest migrants they suspect of entering the U.S. without authorization. For more, we're joined in El Paso, Texas, by Marissa Limon Garza. She's executive director of Las Americas Immigrant Advocacy Center, one of the groups challenging the Texas law, SB4. She wrote an open letter to Eagle Pass and Brownsville ahead of Trump's and Biden's visits that said in part, quote, "The circus is coming to town. Like you, we've become the proscenium or stage for all host of political theater focused on spectacle, sound bites and media clickbait." Marissa Limon Garza, welcome back to Democracy Now. Can you talk about the significance of these dueling trips and President Biden asking Trump to join him, or he said he would join Trump in supporting increasingly harsh legislation around the border?
Greetings. Thank you for having me. It is not lost on Las Americas that this is a moment where clearly Texas has become a battleground for the soul of this nation. And Texas holds the largest land border with Mexico. And so it's clear that both presidents, past, president, present, and governors and the like are very interested in what happens at the southern border. And so it's pathetic, frankly, to think that the far right has a satiable thirst. They are insatiable, and no amount of red meat in the form of borderland communities, people on the move, newcomers, neighbors alike, who've been here for decades and that are in mixed status households, will ever be enough tribute to this particular political reality. And so knowing that, it's incredibly painful that both of these leaders used our communities, our borderland homes, as backdrops for their incredibly dangerous rhetoric. Texas has very lax gun laws. We already know what happens when you mix this kind of rhetoric with xenophobia, access to semi-automatic rifles. We know that here in El Paso, they know that in Uvalde, they know that in Allen. We know this reality, and that's why it's incredibly painful, albeit not surprising.
Can you talk about what you understand President Biden's plans are? Immigration is emerging as one of the top issues, if not the top issue, in a number of states' primaries around the country. Now there's word that President Biden, if he cannot get the legislation passed in Congress, will issue executive orders much closer, more in line with what Trump did. Can you talk about what these might be and your concern? And if you feel that the Democratic administration of Joe Biden is hearing what immigrant rights activists on the ground are saying?
Immigration has been a political football and a little bit of kryptonite for quite some time, going back basically until 9/11. And that's when we saw a real shift in how we respond to this idea of this nation state that is the United States and how people on the move can or cannot access territory and protection on U.S. soil. So we know that asylum is a completely legal, internationally recognized right. It is something that we, our Congress, has committed to. And yet this administration and administrations past have chipped away through policy, through practice, through law, the ways that we actually live up to those values. And so it's disappointing. You know, we were part of conversations with the Biden administration when they were transitioning into office. And frankly, surviving the horrors of the Trump administration, knowing that our community was the laboratory for so much injustice, of zero tolerance, of family separation, of Remain in Mexico, of Title 42, of all of these laws and practices designed to keep people out, to say, through policy, do not come. And to know that we now have a unified force, it doesn't matter which party is taking on this issue. Ultimately, they are against people on the move. They are against Black, Indigenous, people of color, people of the Global South, people that are part of the LGBTQ plus community, mothers with children, unaccompanied children, like people who are living the reality of United States intervention in foreign policy, the result of the climate crisis, which is very much real and is causing people to flee. And then the most ironic is the fact that we see people from around the globe. It's not just brown folks from Central America and South America here at the southern border. We see people from Africa. We see people from Europe. And so the fact that we're willing to invest so heavily in foreign wars, proxy wars, and think that it won't cause more global migration is laughable. And so it makes me question, what is the benefit? And to me, it's clear, money and power. It always goes back to those things. And so it's amazing to think how much money is made on the back of someone on the move and how much power can be wielded and upheld. It's incredibly disappointing and sobering to know that it doesn't matter which party. We may be even at the table, but we're still on the menu.
I want to go to Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who was with President Biden in Brownsville. This is what he said.
You heard from DHS leadership about how resource-starved we continue to be. Only Congress can address our desperate need for more Border Patrol agents, field operations officers, immigration enforcement agents and officers, asylum officers, immigration judges, support personnel, facilities, and technology. We are removing and returning historic numbers of migrants who entered illegally and failed to qualify for relief. Just since mid-May, we have removed or returned more such migrants than in any full fiscal year since 2015.
So last month, the House Republicans voted to impeach Mayorkas, making him the first sitting cabinet member ever to be impeached. Republicans accusing him of failing to uphold immigration laws at the U.S.-Mexico border. If you can respond to what he said, and also Trump repeating factually inaccurate lies, just to clarify what factually inaccurate means, when he talked about the country being overrun by Biden migrant crime, new form of vicious violation of this country. The fact that migrant crime statistics are so much lower than crime statistics in the United States of everyday American citizens.
I would share, you know, simply put, the American public, they're just being racist. There's no other way to describe it than the language coming out of the secretary's mouth is one that still upholds policies of deterrence and cruelty. And the data shows, the record shows that more drones, more concertina wire, more buoys, more technology is only causing more harm and more death. This has been, last year, 2023, was the most deadly on record for migrants in our area. And that's because we're so rigid in the way that we're responsive to the needs of human beings and a very real humanitarian reality at the southern border. And so, no, it's racist and it's against human rights and the well-being of all people. In Las Americas, we believe that people have a right to migrate just as much as they have a right to thrive in place. And we also believe that people have a right to information that affects them. And the way that people are talking about these fellow humans is horrific.
Let me ask you about the significance of the Texas court just blocking SB4. And for people who don't know what SB4 is outside of Texas, explain.
Sure. So in the state of Texas, every 2 years, our legislature meets to pass laws and to govern. And usually we have a regular session. And this past year, 2023, we had four special sessions so that Governor Abbott and his cronies could push along legislation that they deemed appropriate for their Texas. So Senate Bill 4 that we are actually in active litigation against the state, along with the El Paso County, American Gateways, and the ACLU, is the result of this effort to control the border, again, through violence and through harm. This racial profiling law, again, racist, and actually goes against many other real Texas values, is designed to ask any person with probable cause if they entered into the United States from Mexico at an official port of entry where Texas holds, you know, a border. And the law that Representative Spiller crafted and that I testified against in a House hearing is designed to impact the entire state. So this is the folks in the panhandle who are living climate change right now with a horrific wildfire. This looks like Houston, an international global city, and it looks like meatpacking towns and college towns and rural communities all across the state, the second largest in the country based on just geography. And the law is designed to affect anyone, regardless of class, status, education level, language. It's an attack on brown and black bodies, and it's designed to make us fearful. It's designed to make us quiet. It's designed to make us feel disenfranchised.
And it's been blocked by the court now. It won't go into effect next week.
It's not going to, God willing, it won't go into effect on the 5th, and we're joyful. We're incredibly thrilled that this judge has stood, you know, in line with what we're fighting for. And so we know that this battle, you know, short was won. We're still in this longer war, but we're excited to continue the fight.
I wanted to ask you finally about what's happening up here in New York. New York City Mayor Eric Adams spoke out in favor of modifying New York sanctuary laws to facilitate the deportation of immigrants. The sanctuary laws date back to the 80s, prohibiting state and local government agencies from collaborating with federal immigration authorities. Can you explain what the significance of what he's proposing?
It's terrible, in a word. We have better solutions here at the southern border. We are partnering with USCIS, along with our counterparts in San Diego and Brownsville, to make sure that people are able to apply for work authorizations while they're here at the southern border and leave with actually that application, if not the authorization, to then go to interior communities like New York City and can then begin legally working and adding to the local economy almost immediately. And that would reduce the burden on any kind of social safety net and actually help meet what people on the move actually want, which is dignified work and the ability to have some resources to protect their families and loved ones.
We want to thank you so much for being with us. Marisa Limon Garza, Executive Director of Las Medicas Immigrant Advocacy Center in El Paso, Texas. When we come back, we look at an intercept expose of a controversial New York Times article alleging Hamas weaponized sexual violence on October 7th. Stay with us.
And I walked a long way. Every suitcase held a home. Somebody call me
refugee.
Somebody call me
refugee.
Somebody call me
refugee.
And I wear it proudly.
Refugee.
Refugee by Kanan. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The New York Times is reportedly conducting an internal investigation to identify the source behind leaked information about its coverage of Israel and Gaza. According to Vanity Fair, the internal investigation follows a report in The Intercept about the Times shelving an episode of its podcast, The Daily, over doubts regarding the accuracy of a highly controversial blockbuster New York Times article published at the end of December, alleging Hamas members committed widespread sexual violence, weaponized it on October 7th. Vanity Fair reports that in recent weeks,